moving very quickly now into a very special time of the Christian year, not only with Seder, but also with Tenebrae that's coming up, and beyond that, our Easter season, better known as Resurrection Day, right? You have in your bulletins these beautiful cards. We really want you to pray. This is prayer, care, share. Pray that God would use this card in one of your neighbor's life, coworker, a friend, a relative. And we also would encourage you to pick up cards on the foyer as well that you can give out to your friends and relatives. And we do have a team of workers that are going to be going up and down the street again, visiting these folks. We look at ourselves as a neighborhood church, and we're moving in that more in that direction. So do pray for God to give us favor, all right? God to give us favor as we visit with our neighbors here in this area. So keep this in mind. Begin praying for that, and also begin to say, how can I, Holy Spirit, you're the great missionary, and sometimes you're pleased to use us. How can you use me in this area, in my work, in my neighborhood? All right, so please make these available. We make these available to you so that you can be part of our prayer, care, share ministry. Now we come to Job, all right? Job chapter 19. I do not know why a number of people within the church, when they heard me say we're going to talk about Job, said, yes, I want to learn about Job. I don't know about that. Sometimes we get into Job, we get into kinds of affliction and troubles and times that are difficult to deal with. But today I want to encourage us and strengthen us in God's word, trying to understand, first of all, what Job knew about God. All right? So in Job chapter 19, follow with me as I read these words in verse 25. Job says, I know that my Redeemer is living, and I know that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. Also know that after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and no one else. How my heart yearns within me. Is that where your heart is today? You just want to be with the Lord forever. Well, I have good news for you. You will be. When you have simple childlike faith, like Jesus tells me this, I know, for the Bible tells me so. If that's your childlike faith, you can be assured you're going to be with the Lord forever. Amen to that? Well, what did Job know? Well, let's first of all understand what Job didn't know. Job, first of all, didn't know that the enemy in the heavenlies was really coming against him in a strong, strong way. Didn't know what God said to Satan. Satan means accuser. Job didn't know what God said about himself. Have you considered my servant Job? That's kind of scary when you think about it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, we wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And yet God is there, and is he saying, have you considered my servant David? Have I considered my servant so-and-so? Job didn't know what was going on in the heavenlies. Neither do we. We have an enemy. Jesus, when he went around preaching in the synagogues, you know what it says in Mark chapter 1:31? He went around in the synagogues casting out demons in the places of worship. That's where the enemy was. In the ancient world, they really believed in the power of the enemy. And we still have that power. The power that is against us. That power that would love to dethrone us, enter into our marriages and families and destroy us. That's why we have the Lord's Prayer, remember? Our Father, protect us from the evil one. in the Lord's Prayer that I shared with you a few weeks ago. We need to keep that in mind, men. Praying for your marriages, praying for your families, praying for the church. Because the enemy is out there very, very strong. But we also need to remember what Job may not have known. Romans chapter 8 says it so well. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's a gone affair. We will be. Because for those whom God has foreloved, loved before the foundation of the world, he called and he called them and he justified them to be glorified. If God is for us, who can be against us? Satan's against us. Satan is against us. It is all demonic powers. The spirit realm as well as the human realm. Job didn't know what was going on in the heavenlies. And neither do we. But who can bring any charge against God's elect? Because it's God that justifies us and sanctifies us to set us apart unto himself to be glorified. That's what Job didn't know, as we know. Who can condemn us then? Romans 8 says, no one. Oh yes, Satan tries to condemn us. He's the accuser. But who can condemn us? Because Christ died for us, rose again from the dead for us, is interceding for us right here and now. No one can condemn us. We have that hope, that assurance in the Word of God. Satan would love to separate us from the love of God, but that can't happen. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if the enemy is against us in the heavenlies, we need to go back to the scriptures and say, thank you, God, for the salvation that we have in you and you alone. So Job didn't know what was going on in the heavenlies. But Job did know this. He knew that he was suffering. Now, when you think about Job's life, the suffering and time in Job is really a short period of time in his life. He was raised as a covenant child, probably. We don't know that for sure, but he's raised maybe with believing parents in a covenant relationship with God and his parents. And his parents are seeking to raise him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. He was raised with his boyhood friends, Zophar and Bilhad and the others that were there. In his life. Most of Job's life, he was surrounded with the protection of blessing of God in his whole life. Until he came to his middle age period of life. We know that where Job is right now because he has his adult children. And he's praying for his adult children. He's building his altars and called upon the name of the Lord for his adult children in case they had sinned. And so most of Job's life, God had just blessed him abundantly and put a hedge of protection and blessing upon his life. And then all of a sudden, just like that, afflictions begin to come. In the heavenlies, have you considered my servant Job? The Lord God said to Satan. And then the afflictions began to come. Suffering began to come. But that was only short-lived. Because after that period of time of suffering in Job's life, then God again poured out his blessing upon him and surrounded him with his blessing, this hedge of blessing. And for the rest of Job's life, he was filled with fame and fortune and died that way. Now, that's not so in many believers' lives. Sometimes when affliction comes, affliction continues all the way through the rest of their life. Or maybe they were born with affliction. And they have to bear that through the rest of their whole life. That happens as well. But Job knew he was suffering. Just like that. He lost every one of his possessions. Thieves came in and stole from him all of his possessions. They're gone. Satan has power over nature too. And fire came down and consumed Job's possessions. They're gone. And then a great tornado comes when his children are feasting and having a wonderful time together. And the tornado comes and destroys the home and destroys Job's family. They're gone. How could Job say? What kind of faith does he have? I've come into this world with nothing and I'll go out with nothing. The Lord gives and the Lord blesses. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you and I have that kind of faith? I'm not sure we do. But Job had it. And then the afflictions continue on. A dreaded disease came upon Job's life. He didn't understand. What is God doing with me? He's blessed me all these years. Why now? I want to read to you something about what Job really believed. Nothing turned to it, but let me just read it to you. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. Job had a premonition, maybe, of what was going to happen to him. And it came upon him. What I feared has come upon me. You ever have those fears, those premonitions of life? Because things can change just like that, from blessing to real affliction in all of our lives. And maybe it's because of what's happened in the heavenlies that we're not aware of. Job lost his family and Job's dear wife. Oh, the pain that she experienced, and she doesn't really mean this, but she says, oh, Job, with all of your afflictions right now and all your pain, and oh, just curse God and die. What? You're not like a foolish woman. God has the right to give and the right to take away. But his wife really struggled watching Job go through all of this. And then his dear friends, his boyhood friends, they come and they want to comfort him. And for 7 days, they just sat and listened to Job. And they were just around him and comforted him and trying to encourage him, not even saying a word, just being with him. And then the theology got a hold of their minds and then began to think, oh, boy, Job must really be suffering because he and his family have done some secret sins and they need to be confessed. And that's how the book of Job is all about. His good friends turned against him. And Job's left him alone with the Lord his God. But now, what does Job really know? What does Job really know? Look at Job chapter 19, verse 25. I know I have a personal redeemer. And when he's talking about redemption, he's talking about the pouring out of blood. As I was sharing with you before, in that simple ceremony that God had his Old Testament people do, build altars and call upon the name of the Lord by taking an innocent animal and confessing on the animal the sins of their life. And then they're taking this animal and they kill it and they see the blood poured out and they put the animal upon the altar and they watched it all go away. And God was saying, atonement, forgiveness. It's how God saw it. That's what Job understood as well. But through progressive revelation, in the Old Testament, he's coming. But in the gospel account, he's here. And right now, we understand much more than what Job understood. We are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He poured out his blood so we could be totally and forever and freely forgiven. Amen to that. We are the Lord's because of his love. God the Father loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us and prove his love toward us. We sung about it and beneath the cross of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us those words today. Job says, I have a personal redeemer that has purchased me. I belong to him. He's coming. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know who, but I know my Redeemer's coming. Somehow he's going to pour out his life to give me atonement and forgiveness of all my sin. But then notice what he says. I know my Redeemer's living. Yes, there's death, but there's life after death for the Redeemer. Remember weeks ago I shared these pictures of salvation. Remember this? The gospel. God becomes a man for me. Lives a life that I could not live and would not live if I could live. But he died for all my sin. And he rose again from the dead for me. Ascended to heaven, is interceding for us right here and now. And coming back again in power for me. The gospel message. But then I share with you, we had that whiteboard in my teaching classes. I take that eraser and I wipe off the empty tomb. What's left? What's left? There's no ascension. There's no session with the Father. There's no intercession for the saints. There's no coming back again because there's no empty tomb. And because there's no empty tomb, he can't be God in the flesh. If there's no empty tomb, how can just a man forgive my sin? He can't even forgive his own sin. He's just Jesus, a human being that lived and started some kind of religion. And the liberal theologians are telling us, we're out there searching for the historical Jesus. My friends, we found him. We know him because he knows us. The tomb is empty. Are you looking forward to that? Are you looking forward to Tenebrae and following that with a resurrection day? Every Sunday is resurrection day, by the way. It's a joyful family rest day. It's a joyful day because we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, and the whole gospel story is true from beginning to end. Somehow Job understood that as well. My Redeemer's living. He died. He's coming to die, but he's going to live as well. That's the gospel message. The tomb is empty, and the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he went back to his Father. No wonder the 120 believers would go out there and just preach the message of the resurrection of Christ. And the Holy Spirit moved upon them. And things were changed in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. It's happening today because there's an empty tomb. We're not searching for the historical Jesus. We know him. But more than that, he knows us. And we belong to him. And he belongs to us. Been justified and sanctified to be glorified. Somehow Job knew that as well. Because he said also, he says, I know that in the last days he will come and stand upon the earth in absolute victory. And bring to the end all wickedness and the wicked. They're going to be gone forever. And righteousness and eternal glory and eternal holiness will be what will take place forever and ever and ever. Today, we live in the day of humanism. Man's the measure of all things. We think this time is wicked here. The day is coming when the man will be the measure of all things, the man of lawlessness, the man of wickedness, and it's coming. Maybe sooner than we think. But praise God, the God-man will come in victory and stand upon the earth in the latter days and destroy all of wickedness and the man of lawlessness. And then the God-man will be the measure of all things forever and ever and ever. Somehow Job understood that. And we need to understand that as well. The gospel is not just he died and rose again from the dead and go back to his Father. He's coming back again. It's the blessed hope that we're looking forward to. That's what Job knows. That's what we know. Maybe more than what Job knew. And then Job says, I know. I'm going to die. But I know this. In my new glorified flesh, I'm going to see God. No one else do I want to see but him. How my heart yearns for the day that the thief on the cross has been talking about. Remember me, Lord. Today you'll be with me in paradise. And the angels came and took that man. Forgiveness of all of his sins. And he's with the Lord. And someday, we're going to breathe our last, and we're going to be with our Lord. And he's going to love us forever and ever and ever. But the church in heaven is waiting for the time of glorification, where their new bodies will be raised from the dead. And they're going to see the Lord. We're going to see the Lord. And we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We read that in the scriptures today in 1 Corinthians 15. There's a natural body, but there's a spiritual body. There's a heavenly body waiting for us. And we have the privilege of what Job knew as well. Our heart yearns, Lord. And the church in heaven yearning for that day. And we here on the earth are yearning for the day that when we breathe our last, we're going to be with the Lord. and enter into the gospel message forever and ever. Now, I want you to turn to Job chapter 14, because in Job chapter 14, we see something else that Job knew. Okay, follow with me as I read these words. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's true. He springs up like a flower and withers away like a fleeting shadow. He does not endure. That's true. Don't fix your eyes on such a one, God. Will you bring him before you to judgment? Yes, you will. There's coming a day of absolute final judgment. Who can bring what is pure from the impure? The answer is no one. Man's days are determined. You've decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him, God. Let him alone till he has put in his time like a hired man. Doesn't sound much like hope there, does it? Reality of life. At least there's hope for a tree, though. It is cut down, but it'll sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. His roots may grow up out of the ground, and his stump dies in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it buds and puts forth shoots like a plant. But man dies and is laid low, and he breathes his last, and is no more, he's dead. As water disappears from the sea, a riverbed becomes parched and fire. So man lies down, does not rise, till, get that word? Till, what happens? Till the heavens are no more. Men will not awake or be roused from their sleep. But when the heavens pass away with a great noise and the elements of the earth melt with fervent heat, the consummation, the word till, there's going to be a resurrection as well as a judgment. If only you would hide me in the grave, God. If only you would conceal me till your anger is past. If only you would set me a time and then remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? Is the question. All the days of my hard service, Job says, I will wait for my renewal to come. And you will call, and I will answer you, God, on that day, because you will long for the creature your hands have made. Job yearns to see God in his glorified body. Guess what? In this circle of salvation, Jesus is with his Father. He says, Father, is it time to go get my bride? You think we yearn to be with the Lord. God yearns for us to be with him. Do you get it? That's the gospel message. You yearn for the creatures your hands have made. Now do we know what Job knew? I have a personal redeemer. My Father loved me so much, he sent his only one and only Son and offered him up as a sin offering so I could be forgiven of all sin. But his blood had to be poured out first. But when his blood was poured out, nothing could be added to the pouring out of God's blood for forgiveness of sin. No human work, no human ritual can be added. If we think that, we're saying to God the Father, the blood of your Son is not enough. I need something else. And then we cancel out grace altogether. But God has proved his love toward us in that we were yet sinners, not saints, but sinners. Christ died for us, our Redeemer. And we've been redeemed because we're chosen and we're redeemed, purchased people, called, justified. Sanctified, set apart unto God by his love for us to be glorified, is going to happen. Job knew it. Job expected it. Job wanted it. Job yearned for it in the midst of his sufferings. So whatever afflictions may come your way, whatever afflictions you may be going through right now, And some of you folks are going through some terrible afflictions. Some that are not here, we're praying for. Here's the gospel message. God loves us and wants to be with us. And we want to be with him. And it's not just for a time, but forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Why? Because he has intimate, infinite, eternal love. There it is. Before creation to the consummation. History is God's story. Bringing a people to himself, every tribe, tongue, and nation. And he wants to use the season. The Holy Spirit's the missionary. He wants to use this season to reach your neighbor, our neighbor, your friends, your relatives, your co-workers. So when you go out that door, remember, I'm going to my mission field. And watch the Holy Spirit please to use us. And get us ready for Tenebrae. The choir is working hard. And they're God's missionaries to you. You're going to receive their gift in a few weeks. We got the gospel, don't we not? The good message, the good news. And here again, little children, Jesus loves you, this we know, where the Bible tells you so. Little ones, to him belong. We're also weak, but he is strong. Yes, yes, Jesus loves me. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Job didn't have all the scriptures that we have, but he knew a lot more than we think he knew. Amen and amen. Listen to God's familiar words. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love, for your people here this day. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us so much that you gave your life, that we could have life. Truly the message is, God the Son died and we live forever and ever and ever. And we are spiritually alive to you, and we understand this gospel message that we desire somehow to share with our friends and relatives and loved ones. Holy Spirit, use us as you please to do so. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.